That is it for today, and if you could just turn in your Bibles to today's scripture reading, it's 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29, the passage is 13 to 18, but I will start with verse 10 and read to verse 20. Can we rise for the reading of God's word? First Chronicles 29. Please follow along as I read it aloud. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power, and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow, without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord and the king. This is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Today, Pastor Wilson will be sharing with us a message called Building Together for His Holy Name.
Have you ever experienced something like during a weekday, you are working at home, or you're doing your homework at home, or watching TV, and all of a sudden, the doorbell ring, ding dong. And then you thought, you know, I don't have any appointment. What would that be? And then you peek through the window and see maybe there's a little kid, maybe there's a couple, or maybe some people standing there holding something in their hands. And then you might know, oh, it's the neighborhood kid come to do fundraising. They may be selling the Boy Scout, Girl Scout pork cookies, or some kind of political organization come and ask for your support, financial support. And what would you do? Sometimes you, probably some of us, will pretend there's nobody home, peek through the curtain and then going back to whatever we're doing. Some of us may be opening the door and have a conversation and said, sorry, we don't want to do that, and some of us may be a little bit generous and we donate some of our money. But oftentimes we see that as a bother. I grew up in Hong Kong. When I still remember when I was in elementary school, when I was on my way walking to my school in the morning, sometimes in certain time in the year, I would see people, they wearing uniform, holding a little box and a little flag. And then when we saw them, we make a U-turn. We cross the street and then take a longer route to school because we know that they are fundraising. and I only have $2 in my pocket, and that is my lunch money. What is our impression when you come to church? And some of the church, you know, we did not practice here in Archibald, but some of the church in the middle of the worship, and then all of a sudden you find out that the usher were passing a little bucket kind of thing around, and then people put their change and whatever in there. You know, my parents, when they were not believers, they always said, you know, churches always go after your money. That's what they do. Is that how we viewed when we come to the church? Now today I want to share with you this passage. The reason for sharing that, because today is a groundbreaking day, and then at noontime you will see that a little ceremony to breaking ground in a couple of weeks. You will see heavy equipment going to move in the lot next to the chapel over there, and then we will start to build a new building. And maybe a lot of us, we don't understand why the church continue to expand and build buildings and have such a big capital campaign and build a new building. But I want to bring you back in history time, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And I ask you that to keep your Bible open. These 10 verses from verse 10 to 20 of chapter 29 is a prayer of King David. It's a prayer of King David in a time that he was preparing his country to launch a building project, namely the temple. And in this prayer, you will see there are three key elements in his prayer. First, David gave praise to the Lord. And then he gave a thanksgiving to the Lord. And then he had a petition to the Lord. First, let's look at chapter 29, verse 10 to 12. This is the praise that David gave out in his prayer. He said, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power, and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all." That is the praise of David's praise. Now, a little bit background on that. When David say this prayer and praise God, a couple of verses before that, you will see, you know, starting from chapter 29, verse 1 down, 1 to 9, you will see that he enlists a list of material, precious metals that he prepared from his kingdom, as well as dig deep in his own wallet, his own saving, to contribute to this building project, this temple building. For example, you will see that in verse 2, "With all my resources I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron," and so forth. And later on, in verse 3, you see, "Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God. Over and above everything, I have provided for this holy temple." And then he enlists the resource that he lined up for this temple. And you see that 3,000 talents of gold, 7,000 talents of refined silver, and so forth. And if you're holding your Bible, it's an NIV version, you will see that there's footnote there. 10,000 talents and all these things add up to how many? Hundreds and hundreds of tons of gold and silver and precious metal. Now, some of the commentators and Bible scholars and historians study this, and they calculate if all these treasures translate into today's currency, how much would it mount up? It mount up hundreds of billions of dollars. Now, what you are looking at is David lining up his kingdom's wealth and treasure and resource bigger than the bailout program that we have for the banks and for the car industry. And he pouring all these resources in there. And then not to mention there's a lot of people following his example and donating sacrificially. Now, if that's the case, you will think about it. You visit different churches. Maybe some of you have been in Europe and see those huge cathedrals. And oftentimes you will see in cathedrals, those stones, they carve somebody's name on it. Or you go to a church, you will see that a pew with a little metal plaque with a family name on it. These are the things that remember the donor. But to our surprise, here in chapter 29, none of the names were mentioned. None of the names were mentioned. I think it's related to how David praised God in verse 10 to 12. Because if you look at verses 10 to 12, David praised God in a way that God is the center. God is the core. And all his power and majesty and splendor is what God, what David prayed for and praised him for. And as a matter of fact, if you look in carefully in verse 11 and 12, there's a little structure there. That structure is like a sandwich. You get two pieces of bread, you get two pieces of lettuce, and then you get the meat in there. And then if we peel open this structure, you know what he praised God for. For example, verse 11, "Yes, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours." The greatness of power, glory, majesty, and splendor. Similar language repeat at the end of verse 12. "In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all." That is the two pieces bread in the sandwich. And then the next layer, you will see that "for everything in heaven and earth is yours." And then you see that in the middle of verse 12, "You are the ruler of all things." Everything on heaven and earth is yours. You are the ruler of all things. Now we come to the core of his praise. "Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you." God is the king of the kingdom. He is the king of kings and lord of lords. Not only is he the king of kings and lord of lords, all the wealth and honor belong to him. So David's prayer set the foundation of whatever that we're doing, which is all about God. It's not about us. Even though you might donate a big, large sum of money, it's not about you. It's about God. That is why no name was mentioned. Are we building for our own name? Are we living a life for our own sake? Today, sitting among us, we have Christian brothers and sisters. This is a question that we ought to ask ourselves every day. I get up in the morning, I live today, I breathe the air. Am I doing it for myself or for God's sake? Are we self-centered or God-centered? How do we conduct our everyday life, the way that I speak to people, the way that I look at things, my perspective, my concern? Are these things centered around God himself? And I also know that among us, maybe we have friends, they're visiting us, or you've been coming and curious about the Christian faith. Let me tell you something. You are here not for other reason, but there is a deep in your soul, in your heart, there's certain brokenness. There are certain emptiness. And I can guarantee you, nothing in this world you seek after can quench that thirst, can fill that void, except you found your Creator in Jesus Christ. And he will fill that void. He will satisfy every need in your life. And you will be joyfully rediscover that your life is not about myself. You know, if we live a life that is a little bit less than ourselves, we are a little bit more joyful. The more you lose yourself, the more you enjoy God's design in your life. That is what the gospel is about. That's what Jesus come and died for you on the cross, to purchase you back into the love of God. It's all about God. It's not about us. And when we rediscover that, that is the deepest need in human's heart, is to find who we are, why we are here. And if we keep looking for ourselves, we will not find answer. Unless we look upward to the one that created us, then we will find answer. That is what the building project is about. That is why David preparing and line up all these resources to build a temple, so that it will embody God's presence among sinners. Temple is not for God. Temple is for God's people, so that they have a visual reminder, they have a place that they can focus on, that God is among us. That happened when Moses led the Israel into the wilderness and into the promised land. The first thing in the book of Exodus, that God present himself before Moses. And then you see that the large chunk of the book of Exodus dedicated to the detailed description of the tabernacle, the place where God dwell with sinners. And that tabernacle language carried into the New Testament. In first chapter of the Gospel of John, it said, the Word become flesh, dwell among us. The word dwell can be translated into tabernacle among us. It's God live among his people. And the temple is provide the focal point, embody the presence of God. Because the God that David prays is the God of the kingdom, the head over all. Wealth and honor come from him. Furthermore, when David finished praising God, he continued on and give thanks. Verse 13 to 16. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from you, from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow with the hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. This part of thanksgiving is also God-centered. Oftentimes we picture, when we make donation offering in the church, we picture this way, somehow like this. The cloud in the heaven depart. A giant hand comes down. The hand is empty and waiting for you and me to fill, bring our treasure, gold and silver, and fill that hand, and that hand take that and do his work. But that was not the picture that David present here. David present a very different picture. The clouds in the heaven depart. A giant hand come down, but the hand is filled with blessings and abundance. And then God's people drink from that. And we give. So in other words, it's a picture like, grace come in, your joy rise up and overflow. That is what Christian giving is about. It's not about how much I sacrifice, it's about how much I receive from God and the abundance that I receive from the God of the universe. Therefore, I joyfully give. That is what Christian giving is about. And you see that because in this part, verse 13 to 16, David was contracting two things. How insignificant you and I are, and how significant God is. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generous as this? We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. But when he said about God, everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for the building, for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. That is why we give. That is why we offer. we offer is a reflection of God's grace in our life. So for Christian, our joy is drastically different from this world. Because in this world, people are joyful because they experience financial blessing. But for us, joy results in financial blessing for others. It's not financial blessing results in joy, but joy results in financial blessing for others. That is our giving. That is the depth of Christian giving, that you and I experience that. Now, that has very little to do with how rich, how much you have. Last night when I preached this message to the Saturday English congregation, a whole bunch of kids sitting at the front. So I asked them, do you receive allowance from your parents? Some say yes, some say no. When they say no, they look at others and I hope I didn't create any trouble for them. But I said, practice this. Parents sitting among us, encourage your kid if you give them allowance. Encourage them to tithe. I don't care whether it's a quarter, 50 cents. It doesn't matter. God look at our hearts, not the amount. Remember what Jesus said about that widow with only two mites? The sound of those two mites clinging down in the offering box in the temple, it echoes ages after ages in church history. It's not about the amount. It's about the heart. And Jesus praised her not because she put in everything that she had, but because she joyfully put that in. It's a deep, deep understanding of God's grace and God's abundance to cause someone to do that. And that is that joy that Jesus praised that widow. You and I, we own much, much more. But do we see our finance management, our resource as mine? Or we see that as God is giving me abundantly so that I can bless others abundantly? If you can turn with me to chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. Chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. Paul captured that spirit very accurately. Chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God bless you with abundance for a purpose. It's not a selfish purpose. It's not a self-centered purpose. But it's so that you will be abound in good works. And furthermore, he continued, as it is written, he has scattered abroad his gift to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seeds to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So in other words, God bless you abundantly, materially, is so that you can glorify Him. You will enjoy the wealth that God gave you. But the ultimate purpose is God wants to use you as a blessing for others, so the other will be blessed. The secular media knows about this, sometimes better than Christian. I still remember that one of the financial gurus in public broadcasting system, the PBS, by the name Susie Osman, when she had a conference addressed to a group of college graduates, and she entitled that conference called The Young, the Fabulous, and the Broke. The young, they're fabulous, but they graduate from college with a lot of loans, they're broke. And then she advised them, however poor you are, do a monthly budget, and remember, Whether it's $5, $10, it doesn't matter. Keep that and donate to charity. The reason for that is it's good for your mental health. The secular people understand that. How much more should we understand that we have a reason, even more beyond our own mental health? It's about the glory of God. God gave you so that you can give. God bless you so that you can be a blessing. That is related to His very, very promise in the Old Testament to Abraham. That is why in the third part, when David gives thanks to God, and then he has a petition, he has supplication, verse 17 to 19 or 20. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord, God of our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep the desire of the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees, and to do everything to build a palatial structure for which I have provided. You see, he prays God, he gives thanks to God, and he prepares all this wealth and material for his son Solomon to do that. But what he prayed for Solomon was not continually to have craftsmen, to have more material to pour in, but he prayed for Solomon's heart, that he will be a king with integrity. He will be a king that will seek after God's heart, that will follow God's command, that will be obedient to God. And he prayed for his heart. He prayed for Solomon's heart. You see, building the temple, David knows that it was not about himself. It's about God, and it's about God's blessing upon the generations to come. So he did his best to prepare for his son Solomon. But he did not know, out of God's eternal promise, faithfulness, his covenant to his forefather Abraham, that I will bless you and make you a blessing so that you can bless the nations, that one day one of David's son, Jesus Christ, will walk into the temple and he will declare that you will destroy the temple, but in 3 days God will build up again. And he practically declared, I am the temple, I am the tabernacle of God among sinners, and people can come to me. David did not anticipate how God will use that little building project, and over the ages it was destroyed more than once. But yet one day, one of his descendants, as promised by God to Abraham, that the seed of salvation, God with us, will come from one of his sons. And that is a temple that is far more glorious and greater than the physical temple. Jesus Christ become our temple, in which in Christ we meet God, we reconcile with God, because Jesus paid for all the sin and iniquities in our lives, wash us clean. We don't bear any guilt anymore. We can have a new start, because he promised that whoever in Christ, you are a new creation. Everything has been made new. You can have a new start in your life, and God will walk with you together. That is why when David prayed, he addressed to God as, O God, O Lord God of our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Because he remembered that God make a covenant with his forefathers, and God is faithful, and God will see his promise fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, over the years, we we walked through this building project. And today is a joyful day that we finally see a ceremony signify the beginning of the building work. But in this process, it was not a smooth process. Usually in any local church, crises come in two occasions: building project and hiring of a pastor. God has been gracious in our church to help us to navigate and to help us to rely upon Him. But these processes greatly humble us. And we know that it is not because we have, not because we can, but because God have and God can. None of the building will be perfect. Even you call on the best architect to design it, it will not be perfect. But God is perfect, and He will use that and reach out to the community and reach out to the people. So when you look at that, when you participate in the groundbreaking ceremony, when you look at one day when the building is erected over there, it's not for our glory, but it's for God's. And we ought to ask ourselves the question, is the English ministry, is my life ready for that temple? Am I able to embody Christ's presence in my daily life? Is our ministry ready to embody Jesus Christ to people who come and to the people in the community? We have many, many things to do. We have a lot of room to grow. The building project humbles us. The building itself reminds us it is God among us, so that even though we encounter difficulties and challenges, we know that God is with us. And He will use that for His glory, for His name. Not our glory, not our name. Building together for His holy name. May I remind you, and myself as well, everything you do is about God. And I want to address that to those of you who come in late without a legitimate reason. When you come, sometimes I know some people will skip the worship. Is it about you? Or you come here, it's about God. When you do that, my heart saddens. Not because I want the congregation to be like everybody together and that kind of thing, but I worry about your personal relationship with God. I want to encourage you. I don't want to put you on a guilt trip. I don't want to lay a heavy burden on you. Some of us, we come in late for some legitimate reason. But for those of you, you know what I'm talking about. When you come to worship, are you educating yourself to be a consumer? Or is it a drastically different place that you come into God's presence and it's about Him, not about you? Let's bow and pray. Father, I pray for everyone in this room, including myself, that Your name will be glorified in our life, that You start building in our life the temple of God, that this building project RCCC embarked in will be a reflection of Your building among Your people. We offer up our life to You. Would You have the right to illuminate into the darkness in our lives, to correct us, to grow us, to challenge us, so that we can truly reflect the glory of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray for those among us who are still learning about the Christian faith, with the promise in our Lord Jesus Christ that a guilt-free life, a brand new start in our Lord Jesus Christ alone, will materialize in their life. They will be able to see the joy, the blessing of their Creator. In Christ's name we pray together. Amen.